Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, where the story sets up in that Elijah had just had this big contest with the prophets of Baal. And, this one little prophet had triumphed over all those other prophets. Actually, it was the Lord God who had triumphed over those other prophets. And there was a little problem. The queen of Israel, Jezebel, was a worshiper of Baal. And so she was really angry. And Elijah says, I better get out of here. Let's listen in. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, to take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise, eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Then he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. It had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored him to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the herdsmen saw what happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. People went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him.
Thanks be to God. Andy, would you lead in prayer this time?
Father, we thank you just greatly for being in our presence and inviting us into your. I pray, Lord, that through the message we're about to hear, that you would give Frank the unction of your spirit, that your voice would come through him and our hearts would be able to what you are saying, each one of us individually, by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just show us your grace to be able to follow you. Give us the strength to follow you in the ways you take us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Queen Victoria reigned longer than any other monarch in England. And it was once during Queen Victoria's reign, which she had an amazing reign. She did so much. She touched a lot of people. She heard of the wife of a very common laborer who had lost her baby. Queen Victoria was herself no stranger to sorrow in life, and she was really moved when she heard this story. And so she went to visit the woman just to comfort her. Oh, can you imagine being visited by the queen? The neighborhood, you know, the poor neighborhood, it was abuzz. And as soon as the queen left the house, everybody descended. What was she doing here? What did she say? And the woman said, "Nothing." She simply put her hands on mine, and silently, we wept together. The sound of silence. The sound of silence is at once a very deeply known and also a deeply misunderstood phenomenon. God can speak in just about any way that God wants to speak. Throughout the scripture, we see God speaking through burning bushes, tablets of stone, booming from clouds, through prophets, through his son, even through talking donkeys. But God also loves to speak through silence. That's not an easy thing for those of us who are so used to being busy at everything, to just quiet ourselves. Elijah had been very busy. Did you hear what he says when he gets asked, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Do you ever feel a little like Elijah? I'm the only one working. Well, look around you. There are a lot of other people working. And that was the wake-up call that Elijah had to get. But sometimes we just feel that way. Elijah needed to get away. And when he did, he got very quiet. That was a good thing for him. He had been very zealous. But from the zeal comes also the need for times of quiet. That's not easy, especially if you're an extrovert. Extroverts always look to try to find somebody else to kind of rope in and to kind of make them feel good and bounce off of. Sometimes there's a lot of bouncing that goes on. But those of us who tend to be introverts love to have the time just to be quiet. And we need that. Even extroverts need quiet time. Elijah found God speaking to him through silence. And Elijah listened. He had warned the king of his greedy and his murderous ways. Elijah, he had been a word of life to a widow and a son at Zarephath. Elijah was God's messenger to the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. But now Elijah was having trouble hearing. You ever have trouble hearing God? Anybody? You ever have trouble hearing God? Here too. I have trouble hearing God at times. Sometimes I'm just too worried and too busy. I think, you know, I've been very zealous for the Lord my God, and I'm the only one doing the work. And God says, look around. Elijah was running from the queen. Jezebel was extremely angry at Elijah's triumph over the prophets of Baal. She was angry because he had also killed all those prophets. She was furious at this judgment, the slaughtering of her God's prophets. And notice her promise to Elijah. Verse 2 of chapter 19. So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. By tomorrow this time, you will be dead too. I'm going to make sure of it. And so Elijah does what you and I would probably do. Let's get out of town. This is not a safe place to be. He finds a place to hide near Beersheba, which is south of Judah. And then he goes another day into the desert. By this time, he has come to a very important place in Israel's history, Mount Horeb. We also know it by another name, Mount Sinai. Ah, God had spoken. This is where God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. This is the place where God gave to Moses the tablets of stone. If I'm going to ever have a place of solace, of refuge, it's Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. And he gets there, and he is definitely lamenting, and he says, just let me die. But Yahweh is not going to hear of that. And Elijah has trouble hearing what Yahweh has for him next, because he's too busy licking his wounds and feeling sorry for himself. Have you ever been there? Here I am. Oftentimes licking my wounds, feeling sorry for myself. And God says, would you just snap out of it? Actually, he's a lot more gentle than that. That's probably the way I would say it. Although there are times when God has to kind of hit us over the head with a 2x4 to get our attention. But that's not how he does it this time. Here he is in Horeb. He's having provision made for him. Hot cakes, water. And he takes shelter in a cave. And when the angel comes, the angel says, "So, what are you doing here, Elijah?" He justifies his flight. "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." This place is so common for so many people. You know, Winston Churchill, who was the Prime Minister of Great Britain, especially during the dark days of World War II, called this period in his life the Black Dog. The Black Dog, because he suffered from depression. Lots of great people do. Martin Luther, you know, the guy who started the Reformation. When Rome gets a wind of this, that things are that he wants to have a discussion, Rome says, "We're not talking. In fact, you better watch out for your heart. Hide, Martin." And so he says, "I better get out of here." So he grows a beard and goes to hide out in the Wartburg Castle in Eisenach in Germany. We do this so easily. We run away. God finds us when we run away. When God gets a hold of him, he says, "Go forth," verse 11, "go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." So he goes out, and he's looking to hear from God. And there are three very significant catastrophic experiences. It says, "There was a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord." And you think, it's like an earthquake. God's got to be speaking in this. But listen what it says. "But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire." All these, we expect, these great catastrophic events, that God's going to be in it. Well, we know that at some level God is in it. But he's not going to speak necessarily in the midst of it. And that's the story here. And then there's something which is barely perceivable. After the fire, says verse 12, a sound of a gentle blowing. A sound of a gentle blowing, a barely perceivable breeze. And Elijah stops. And he goes outside. And he listens. And there's God. In the quiet. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The question comes again. And Elijah rehearses how great a guy he is. Again. That he had run in fear. But what does God say to him? He says, "I have work for you to do. Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram." There are exciting changes in this wind. And Elijah, I want you to inaugurate them. You're not done. Oftentimes we just don't wait. We don't take the time to get quiet, to listen. But if we do, and we wait patiently, we will find that God is right there in the midst of the quiet. Exciting changes in the wind. A new king for Aram, Hazael. a new king for Israel that you're going to anoint, if you read on in the chapter, Jehu. And there's going to be a new prophet that's going to rise up to take your place, Elijah, Elisha. I have all this work for you to do yet. So don't just think that you're all by yourself. I have work for you to do. Bianca, I wonder at times if you have ever felt all alone. But here am I, this just little Bianca Trenard. What can I do? Well, God has been using you, Bianca, here among us. You have been back with the kids week after week after week, just giving yourself, pouring yourself out. And we as a church are grateful, but we want you to hear this from God. God says to you, I am grateful. For you've been listening to my voice and you have been faithful. So what are you doing here? God has more work for you to do. And this time of graduation is a time of transition to move to another place. We don't know yet, do we? You can dream a little bit. You have some ideas. We all have ideas. I have ideas. But we need to seek the Lord. We need to get quiet. What are you doing here? That's a good question. Father Damien was a priest. He became famous for his willingness to serve lepers, and he moved to Kalawao, which is a village on the island of Molokai in Hawaii. And that village had been set aside to be a quarantine place to serve as a leper colony. And for 16 years, Father Damien lived in the midst of these lepers. He learned to speak their language. He bandaged their wounds. He embraced their bodies that no one else would touch. He preached to hearts that otherwise had just been left alone. He organized schools and bands and choirs, and he built homes so that the lepers would have a place to live. He also oversaw the building of 2,000 coffins so that when lepers died, they would be able to be buried with dignity. And slowly, it was said, the Kalawao became a place to live rather than a place to die. This all comes out of vision. And Father Damien, I'll bet you had those moments when he felt like he was all alone. But he wasn't. Father Damien offered hope in Jesus' name. Bianca, you're going to have the opportunity, just as all of us do, to offer hope in Jesus' name as we continue to live our lives. God is not through with you yet, Bianca. God is not through with any of us yet. We still have work to do. One day, as Father Damien stood up, he began his sermon with two words. We lepers. Now he wasn't just helping them. Now he was one of them. For from that day forward, he wasn't just on their island. He was in their skin. He had become a leper because he had drawn so close to them. He wasn't afraid to touch. He wasn't afraid to get close and to listen. Now they were really in it together. And he knew, this is exactly where God wants me. Come and give your life. That's the call of God on all of our lives. Whether we be the Prime Minister of England, our little theology professor in Wittenberg in Deutschland, or somebody who's just graduated from Mainland Regional High School. One day God came to earth and he began his message. We lepers. He wasn't just helping us, he had become part of us. He knew the pain of life. He knew what it meant to run from the queen because he felt the temptation to run. But Jesus didn't run. But you can bet that he wanted to. That's what proverbially separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls. The persons who are mature are the people who want to run, but they choose not to. And that's Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the one who shoulders a cross and says, I do this out of love. That's what it means to be faithful. How did Jesus hear that? In silence. Oftentimes out in the wilderness. And we all need that. It was in Jesus' caring, in his life, and in his death, that he spoke God's love. And God's love changed me. How about you? So what are you doing here? Are you where God wants you to be? And how will you know? God might speak through an earthquake, and he might speak through a wind or a fire. But I believe that it is in silence that people best hear God. How's your hearing? I ask not only you, I ask myself, how's your hearing? Can you hear? If your answer is yes, I can hear, then help somebody who can't. If your answer is no, I can't hear, then ask somebody to help you. And if you need help, stumbling as I might be at times, I'm available. And we all need to be available to one another. Because God wants to speak, and God wants to use us. But if we're too busy, how will we ever hear? Let's pray. Lord, we seek your direction. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to learn how to be quiet, that you might use us for your glory. And now, before Paula plays, I'm going to ask Bianca if you would just come. I know this is embarrassing.